Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual, though the third one, I'm not sure it necessarily breaks down along liberal and conservative lines, but we'll get to that in due time. Let's start with the good martini, and this is news that's just breaking, Jim. This is from CNBC reporting this story. A federal appeals court has ruled that the National Security Agency's program of collecting billions of telephone records is not permitted by the Patriot Act. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals in ACLU versus Clapper said a lower court was wrong in ruling that the Patriot Act, as written, precluded a court from reviewing the NSA program. Judge Gerard Lynch wrote for the court saying, quote, because we find that the program exceeds the scope of what Congress has authorized, we vacate the decision below, dismissing the complaint without reaching appellant's constitutional arguments, which means this issue could come back up. But as for now, a nice slap down to the government.
It is. And here's the thing. I want the NSA to be absolutely unleashed beyond our borders and very constrained within our borders. I don't care if you're listening to foreigners' phone conversations, because they're foreigners. And they are not protected by the Constitution the way we United States citizens are. And I kind of believe that those of us on the right who believe the Constitution means something shouldn't basically believe that you make it up as you go along and you listen to what you listen to, and sometimes the phone calls originate overseas and there are people over here and you sweep them up in the net and that's okay. Look, the Fourth Amendment means something. Now, if the NSA and the Obama administration and people going back to the Bush administration all really genuinely believe that this program is utterly necessary, and that if we don't have it, we will be suffering terror attacks and Americans will be dying, then let them make that case. Let them make that case to the legislature, and then the legislature, the U.S. Congress, can decide whether to authorize it. We did pass the Patriot Act right after 9/11. Some people might argue that it was put together a little too hastily or should have been reviewed more or more carefully calibrated to balance individual liberty and privacy protections and the need for security. But let's have that debate, and let's have that debate, and let's have people on record voting whether it's okay for the NSA to do this or not. And if it is, terrific. If not, then the NSA can't be allowed to do it. And this is kind of the way the system of government is supposed to work. And if you feel like we're kind of living in an era of a constitutional crisis, this decision is a really good one that basically says, no, you can't make these kind of decisions without the consent of the governed. And the legislature and the lawmaking process is the way to do it.
And let's hope they actually stop until it's fully addressed by Congress and by, in turn, the American people. All right, on to the bad martini now, and it relates to the efforts in Congress. It's kind of one of the few bipartisan issues out there, and that's to give the president trade promotion authority, and specifically at issue right now is this Trans-Pacific Partnership. And obviously, it breaks down, as usual, along free trade versus protectionist lines, but this one's got a really bad twist. Here's the Politico version. If you want to hear the details of the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal the Obama administration is hoping to pass, you've got to be a member of Congress, and you've got to go to classified briefings and leave your staff and cell phone at the door. If you're a member who wants to read the text, you've got to go to a room in the basement of the Capitol Visitor Center and be handed it one section at a time, watched over as you read, and forced to hand over any notes you make before leaving. And no matter what, you cannot discuss the details of what you read. Rosa DeLauro, Democrat from Connecticut, who's very much against this, says it's like being in kindergarten. You give back the toys at the end, and you have folks as disparate as Jeff Sessions and Elizabeth Warren saying, this is ridiculous, Jim.
Greg, are we trading with Area 51? Like, why all this secrecy over a trade deal? Are we trading the Ark of the Covenant or something else that nobody else is allowed to know that we have? Here's the thing. Generally, I'm a free trader, but when you see this much secrecy over something, this dovetails very nicely with our good martini, Greg. I kind of have this crazy, crazy notion that the American people should know what the laws are. And this is very much in the, well, we have to pass it in order for you to see what's in it mentality. The more they insist this must be super duper secret, the more we suspect things aren't good, that there's something wrong on here, that there's something that if it were publicly known, the public would object to and it would never pass. So if, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they're not showing their cards, but the amount of secrecy kind of shows the cards that there's something abominably unpopular in there. And if, you know, if the whole deal is too terrible to show the American people, well, then you really shouldn't be passing it. Now, should you?
I think that's a pretty safe bar. If you don't know what's in it and you can't find out what's in it and you're not allowed to talk about it, I think the safe answer is to vote no, or just convince people to fix it in a way that we finally can get those details.
You can't give something force of law. TBD. To be determined, right? We'll let you know what's in there. Also, it's never a good idea to treat members of Congress like kindergartners. No matter how much they may act like kindergartners, that's not a good way to get them to vote the way you want them to vote.
The president does have the support of the Republican leadership in both the House and Senate, so this will be interesting to watch over the next few days. On to the crazy martini now, Jim. And this is certainly delicious for both you and me, since we can't stand the New England Patriots, but it would appear that at least some modicum of justice has come out of the AFC Championship game, which the Patriots won back in January, of course, over the Indianapolis Colts. But then came the Deflategate controversy, whether the Patriots had intentionally deflated game balls, which was only discovered after Brady's lone interception in that game. CNN reports, the report prepared by attorney Ted Wells for the NFL found that, quote, it is more probable than not that Patriots quarterback Tom Brady was, quote, at least generally aware of the inappropriate activities of locker room attendant Jim McNally and equipment assistant John Yastrzemski, who has been with the team since 2001. The report also found that it is more probable than not that McNally and Yastrzemski participated in a deliberate effort to release air from Patriot game balls after the balls were examined by the referee in violation of NFL rules. So you have both Brady and Patriots owner Robert Kraft saying this is ridiculous. This report is not very substantive. Yet, Jim, finally some justice.
Not only some justice, Greg, but my standard position on the New England Patriots is that the entire team should be suspended. Vacate all the wins going back to the founding of the franchise. Take away not just this year's Super Bowl trophy and award it to the Seattle Seahawks, but take away all of their Super Bowl trophies. Disband the franchise, demolish Gillette Stadium, clear away the rubble, salt the earth, and send the fans to re-education camps. I think anything less than that would be a slap on the wrist. I'm mostly tongue-in-cheek when I say that. But what's really interesting is that there are some people who are saying today that Brady could be facing a suspension anywhere. Some people are saying one game, some people are saying four games. Marcellus Wiley on ESPN who was saying he wanted to see an 8-game suspension minimum. Now, I had kind of figured they might suspend Brady for a preseason game, you know, or they might fine him. I think it was Mike Green on ESPN this morning who said, yeah, a fine's going to really deter Brady. He's got more money than anybody else in the world except Giselle. And so on the one hand, like, you know, people who could argue and say this is a look, they beat the Colts by a whole lot and it wouldn't have made a difference in the game. I don't know if I like the idea of, well, if the cheating isn't decisive in the margin of the game, we really shouldn't worry about it. Look, you know, you're breaking the rules. You shouldn't. And there's two aspects to it now. One being that, look, the pretty obvious that there's a lot of text messages between these guys saying the way Brady likes his footballs to be inflated and stuff like that. This was not an accidental deflation. This pretty clearly was deliberate. What really kind of jumped out at me is that Brady didn't cooperate with the investigation, would not turn over his phone, would not turn over his text messages and things like that. And that struck me as not quite a guilty plea, but we are allowed to draw conclusions from that. And, you know, if Brady is really convinced he did nothing wrong, well, then by golly, you know, why is he not turning this over? And people say, oh, you know, you have the right against self-incrimination. This isn't a court of law, right? This is the league investigating to see where the rules followed or were the rules violated. I think increasingly clear it is. There should be some consequence. I think I don't know exactly how many games are appropriate. I could see the full 16 games or the remainder of Brady's career if necessary. But I am willing to go with a 2-game suspension, Greg, as long as both games are against the Jets.
The question, though, is when you look at these texts from these other guys, you can't think that this just happened for this one game. So there's a pattern of cheating here, which is much like Spygate, which means still, Jim, the Patriots have never won a legitimate championship.
Well, there's that, coupled with the, you know, but also like in the details of the report, apparently in the, you know, middle of last year, the Jets play at New England. It's a terrible, miserable, rainy game. Jets lost the game by, I want to say 3 points, a late field goal they missed that would have put them up ahead. So it's a very close game. Jets were not expected to be competitive. I think they ran for like 200 some yards, but apparently Brady was complaining that the balls were inflated too much. That he didn't like the way they felt and was making it harder for the receiver, for him to throw, harder for the receivers to catch. And that was also miserable weather and cold and all that kind of stuff. So there's lots of other factors, but that may have made Brady more focused on the inflation levels than he had been in the past. That having a one where he really didn't like it made him more focused on getting them as inflated as little as possible. Now, what's really interesting is that Brady could have said, let's assume he did everything he's accused of doing. If he'd said, look, I like them inflated to the minimum permissible by the rules, but I never told anybody to do them less than what's permissible. Maybe somebody, you know, misunderstood what I wanted or something like that. He could have covered himself on this, and he really didn't. And so I think the lack of cooperation is what stands out there. And, you know, we will see what Roger Goodell chooses to do with this.
Hopefully the hammer is coming down from Goodell, but I'm not waiting with bated breath. And Jim, now that we know this for sure, I think we can just say once again, what was Pete Carroll thinking?
No. This could have been a much less consequential, but also kind of intriguing. One of the other ways the league can punish a team is by taking away a draft choice.
Yes.
And so it is intriguing this comes out after this year's draft. Conceivably, you could, you know, take away draft choice next year or something. But I believe it was a couple of weeks ago. It was either on Mike and Mike or one of the other other ESPN programs were saying, man, whatever happened to the Deflategate report? It's been taken forever, you know. We now know that this is the conclusions they came to, and it certainly seems pretty thorough. Plenty of billable hours in that effort by that law firm.
Yes.
But, you know, if this had come out 2 weeks earlier, would the New England Patriots have not had a draft choice?
Yes. And we should add that Coach Bill Belichick has apparently been cleared in this report. He has not commented publicly. But, Jim, we know they open on Thursday against Pittsburgh, so if he did comment, I'm sure it would be limited to moving on to Pittsburgh.
We're focused to Pittsburgh. They are. Very good, Greg, and I would just kind of observe, you know there's no way he was taking the fall for this. Brady, look out for that bus!
Yeah,
I don't need Jerome Bettis!
good times. This will be a fun offseason in New England. They've had a few of them lately with Hernandez and all everything else that's been going on up there. So
that's a good point. Like somewhere Aaron Hernandez has said, man, I can't believe that guy cheated.
Oh, man. All right, Jim, we'll call time there. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.